Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
But one night. That's what I heard when we were worshiping, but one night. And I'm like, Lord, what are you saying? That could go a million directions. And he said, but one night, but one day. Keep coming, keep contending, and there is breakthrough in the room. There is breakthrough in your life. And as we were worshiping, you know, Christmas music can be emotional. It ties us to wonderful times and horrible times. And the choice is ours. And as I was worshiping, I was having these flashbacks. You know, we played Drummer Boy twice. Yes, I know. And that was on purpose. We had a request for the first one, and I wanted the other one. And so I got to pick the music tonight, so praise the Lord. I don't do that too often. But as we were worshiping, you know, I remember being a kid watching that cartoon on TV of the Drummer Boy, you know, and even back then, I was so young, I didn't know God, but my soul knew God, my spirit knew God. And any time I'd watch that little cartoon, Frosty the Snowman, that didn't affect me, but the Drummer Boy one, it always affected me because I felt so inadequate that I had nothing to give the King. It was like I became that little Drummer Boy, and my heart was always to please the King and give him my best, but I knew I was filthy rags and had nothing for the King. And you know what? Today it's the same. Today it's the same. And that is the wonderful gospel message. We can't do it on our own. We weren't designed to. And so one day, the Holy Spirit hovered over Mary and brought life into earth, brought breakthrough, brought redemption. And then fast forward, one day Jesus came into the earth. What a glorious, spectacular, supernatural time that must have been to be part of that. You know, to watch the signs in the sky, to watch what was really going on in the spirit. And do you know that still for us today? Could you please turn my gain down? Thank you. That is still for us today. And what I love about that is it's like a perpetual life force of God. We can be focused in the world and the trials and the problems we have, or we can recall on that one day of breakthrough. And see, the one day of breakthrough relates to Jesus does it for us, but we have to come alongside with him. And along the way, we get delayed. We have assignments sent against us. We have wrong thinking. We have breakups. We have divorces. We have hardships. And all that is really designed to keep us out of the presence of the King of Kings, the King of Glory. And so as I'm worshiping him, I can't help but relive my life, my old dead life, before I was resurrected into newness of life in him. Some of you have heard this story and some of you haven't, but I really don't like to tell it, but the Lord wanted me to share this tonight to bring hope in the room for that one day, the breakthrough. You know, before I knew God, my life, I tried to manage it and do what I could, but there were problems in my life, you know, because I was not godly and I didn't know Proverbs. I didn't know how to live a godly life. And so I made a lot of mistakes and I did a lot of stupid stuff. But one day I heard the gospel message for the very first time. Now I had heard it before, but that one day it penetrated into my heart and brought me out of captivity of that old dead life. It was like one of the most wonderful times I can remember. But I say that about every encounter I have with the Lord, because they're living encounters. There's living relationship with the King. It is not just celebrating Christmas with family and friends and putting up lights. It's the day of breakthrough, the day of redemption, the day of oneness in God, the day of new beginnings. It's the one day that everything changed. And if we can connect into the one day Your breakthrough is here. And I know there's people in this room who are struggling. And what the Lord was telling me while we were worshiping is, you know, I was seeing pictures of people having to be with their family. Yikes. I've been seeing other people who don't want nothing to do with celebrating the birth of Christ. Other people are like, I don't even know what Christmas is all about. What is this stupid holiday? You know, and so I remember being in that system of so angry about Christmas, not knowing really it's about Christ. I thought it was all commercialized. I could see the commercialized part of it, and I wanted no part of that. But in the same time, I was like cutting myself off from the Spirit of Christ. You know, I started to do things that were ungodly. I came into alignment with the enemy's kingdom, not even knowing it. And I'm just going to share a couple of them. I got so mad because the holidays were so horrible for me and my family. Bad things always happened on the holidays. And so I was not looking forward to holidays. And so I found ways to get through it. A little drink here, a little pill there, not showing up because I don't care. It's better not to be around them than be entangled in that stuff. I had bitterness in my heart. And meanwhile, what's happening is I'm building a blockade against the King of Kings, against his kingdom. And I thought it was self-preservation. But really, by default, it's going into the enemy's camp. It's playing his game. I remember it got so bad, I would no longer say Christmas. I would call it Xmas. And now, you would think, oh, that's nothing. Well, not to my Jesus. You know, I know today. But see, I was being programmed into the Antichrist system, okay? Not knowing. And fast forward to the day, the one day, then one day. I'm going to church. I'm going to Holly and Edgar services. And because of the bad things that happened to me, at the holidays, I was like, I don't want to celebrate holidays. I didn't know the true meaning of Christmas because I never understood it. I never read the Bible, so I didn't get it. I just followed along with what people said. But I'll never forget because I had built such a wall of self-defense because I'm not kidding you. If I shared you the stories, you'd be like, wow. But there's redemption. There's wholeness. There's forgiveness. There is grace, there's mercy, and that all comes from the King of Kings. I can't get that out of a package from anybody, but it comes from him. And so what ended up happening is I didn't want to focus on any holidays, okay? I didn't want to focus on any of that stuff, and so I became almost like a hypocrite and to protect myself and because I had been hurt so many times, and I didn't want to be hurt anymore. I didn't want another family argument. I didn't want another... I'll just do it myself. I didn't want any more of the heartache that went along with celebrating this holiday, not knowing that it had nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And so fast forward, I'm with Holly and Edgar, and we're probably driving around somewhere. I don't know. But I'll never forget. I was like, I don't celebrate Christmas. You know, I don't celebrate Christmas. I don't even know what that means today. You know, all I know is I celebrate Jesus, okay? But I remember Holly saying to me, don't you think it's time to deal with that? And I'm thinking, deal with what, crazy lady? No, it's not time to open that closet, and it'll never open that closet. It's too painful. But when she said it, there was like a gentleness and a slap at the same time. And I was like, almost like I do believe, but help me with my unbelief. I want to, but I can't because I'm too broken. It's too painful. And I remember thinking, I don't think I want to deal with this. It's like somebody saying, hey, you want to go on the operating table and, you know, how about this? Get your tooth pulled without planning for it? Not fun, right? And so it's like, no, I need to pray into this. You know, I'm not so sure, but I knew it was God. You know when at the whisper of the Holy Ghost, there is an amazing opportunity and it's easy. It's easy. When it's him, it's easy. And what I love about him is he's always wooing us. Today's the day. How about now? How about now? And so we sat down. I'll never forget this. sat down, went through some stuff, and I saw where God was every time in the brokenness of my life during these hard times. And, you know, I hear people tell stories like that. Well, Jesus was there, you know, or I'm like, oh, my God, he really was there. I didn't know he could do that. You know, I didn't know. And so I went into these, like, encounters with the Lord and got some healing. And I'll never forget this because I don't know how long it took. But after we were done, well, I felt like we were done. Holly said, you know what, I'm going to leave you alone. One of the best things you can do. And I sat there, and I had these encounters with Jesus, and I went into the vision, and I heard, because I knew I got free. See, what happened was bondage, 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 because I came into agreement with every lie about everything the enemy was sowing into me instead of what the Word of God says and who Jesus is. And so it was like I was torn. And so I'll never forget this, and I did not play it because I went with what the Lord wanted, or I would have played Go Tell It on the Mountain, because that is the song I heard, and that is the vision I saw. I saw the angels singing that on a mountain when I got free from all that emotional trauma. And how long did it take? I guess an hour, maybe two. I don't know. Years of hurt and unbelief and years of abuse and years of trials. But then one day, God showed up. And that's what I want to say today, is that one day is every day for those who continue to not give up. Not knowing what to do or how to do it. He knows us. He knows how we think. But then one day, someone says something, and it opens the door to unlock us from the lies and the bondage of the enemy. Now, that is one of the systems in his kingdom that I love. And so now when I'm worshiping him, first of all, every day is Christmas to me because he's so, you know, I can't put it into one day. I just can't, or one week or one season, or you know what? He's worthy every day. He's my deliverer. He's my healer. He brings me peace and joy and presence of love that no other person can give me ever, ever. I wouldn't trade the deliverance and the freedom I received that day on that couch for anything. Because that one day when God broke through and pulled me out of the bondage and the brokenness, you know, he doesn't just patch things together like a torn magazine or a picture. He totally recreates into his image who we are and who we represent in him. And so when the devil even tries to bring up something, there's nothing to attach to because the healing has taken place. And there's no open door. There's no bitterness. Today, I love celebrating with my family and friends, whether it's Christmas, whether it's a birthday, whether it's sunny outside or whether it's cloudy. Every day is a celebration in Jesus Christ. The breath we breathe came from him. I don't take that lightly. You know, I used to be so self-centered and so self-driven, and trying to get things done in my own strength. I've been exhausted doing that life. I traded that in. One day, I traded that in. That one day, that got unhooked on me. And I used to have a taskmaster on my back. I could feel it. It was a demon. And it would push me and drive me to get her done, get her done, get her done. I did not have an off switch. I would work until it was done and be exhausted, but I got it done. But then one day, that got unhooked in the spirit, and I got set free. And balances came into place, and boundaries came into place, and the word no came into place. And it's a huge victory, because I want the peace of God all the time in my life. The thing I strive for is peace. If I'm going to strive, I'm striving for peace. I'm striving to enter his rest, because from there, all things come together. And so I'm praying tonight for us in here, because I see there's some brokenness. I see there's some unbelief. I can tell there's some people getting together with family and you'd rather not. I get that. I've been there. I live through it. I live through it. But the peace of God is the anchor. It is the weapon I use for self-defense. And what I mean by that is I refuse to come alongside with judgment, family sides, Now, there's issues in our family. I'm not saying I don't have issues, but I refuse to participate. And that is a choice I make before I go. That's a choice I have to make pretty much every day until it's a part of the building that I am in God. And now it's just, it's an autopilot. I just don't do it, you know. And every once in a while, something may slip out of my mouth, and I know it'll go against the grain of a certain family member. But very rarely do I try to antagonize and drag people into the kingdom of God. Very rarely, unless they're on their deathbed, then I will go all out to help them find Jesus before they go. But other than that, it does more harm than good to fight about politics and Jesus at the dinner table. Let me just tell you, it'll drive your kids away from you, and it'll drive people away from you. Love is a beautiful fragrance, and people can tell when you're loving Jesus or loving antagonizing people to love Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. There's a difference. It's not a you know, if it, well, I'm not going there. Okay. So you guys get it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I know there's people in here that are struggling. They've been contending for years. You're solid citizens in the kingdom of God, but yet there's this one thing that keeps nipping at your heel. I hear the Lord saying, but that one day is now. God wants to deliver us. He wants to heal us. He wants to bring us, you know, well, I'm hearing the word cloud nine. I don't know what that means, but he wants us to be on the cloud, the glory cloud. He doesn't want us bound to this earth, caught up in the problems, physical ailments in our body, relationship issues with our kids, financial issues, marriage issues. He doesn't want us chained to that stuff. He wants to free us today, but here's the thing. You have to come out of agreement with being right. Ooh. But I am right. Okay. Clink, clink, clink. You'll go around another year. You know what I'm saying? Drag that chain. It's better to forgive. It's better to give a cup of water than to hold a grudge. Time is so short on this earth. We're crossing over soon, and when we do, we're not going to care if they put the dishes away or not. If they took the toilet seat down or up, if they brushed their teeth and put the cap on. Jesus laughs at that stuff. He thinks it's hilarious that you get so wound up over something so stupid. And here's the thing, if you get so wound up on that, that is a demonic force that has got a grip on you. Clink, clink, clink. Let's get rid of the chains tonight. Who wants to get rid of the chains tonight? I know. Me too, Jesus, me too. Yeah, pick me. I'm just waiting on the Holy Spirit. There's weariness in here. Some of you have been through some long seasons. Yeah. Where does your strength come from? From the Lord. Some of these seasons, you know, let's just be honest, they stink.
Yeah.
Okay? Some seasons are not fun, but they're necessary. But the shortening or the lengthening is up to us, truthfully. Because seasons are designed to press the grape a little more, to purify us a little more into the holiness of God, so we're not micromanaging or trying to figure out how to get things done. Every solution has an answer. Every problem has an answer. He is the solution. He is the solution. He wants to co-labor with us in peace, in rest, and bring forth the kingdom of God into the earth to destroy the works of darkness so that his bride can walk whole. I'm actually seeing like a peacock strutting, you know. But some of you are like, no, I'm unworthy. I no, let somebody else. Listen, I'm shaking you in the spirit and waking you up from that lie. God poured out everything for everyone. Now, not everyone will take it. We know that. Pick me. I'll take it, Lord. I want it. I want every good thing you have. And so some of the, when we say that, well, then sometimes we have to be like a diamond that gets, or gold that gets burned in the dross, and the fire heats up a little. And sometimes we don't like fire. Sometimes fire is not fun. I like that, Jesus, but not today. No fire for me today. I need a day off. Here's the thing. If you show up every day, that includes Sunday and Monday, and you ask him with your heart, what are we doing today? How are we going to get through this, Lord? What are you trying to show me? What am I missing? What questions do I need to be asking? You talk like that. Get your notebook out. Start taking notes and listen what he says. You're going to walk in victory. Amen. You're going to walk in victory. His name is the victorious one. We are created in his image for his good pleasure. Now, let's clarify that. Not our good pleasure. For his good pleasure. And when we get that burned out in the dross too, which isn't fun, but we say, yes, Lord, pick me. He wants a pure and holy, spotless vessel that he can flow through to bring his love and peace into the earth, to the broken systems, and heal and repair and pull people out of the fire and grow legs out and open blind eyes and translate over to Antioch because there's something going on over there, a good, cool message or something. Those are normal, everyday activities in the kingdom of God. Let's come up higher into the realm of his glory and learn how to acclimate ourselves to the supernatural realms where we rule and reign instead of fall into the system of the flesh and be led to and fro like little... I'm actually seeing a picture of monkeys on a chain, so I don't know what that's about. I don't like monkeys. I got delivered. I'm going to tell you this. This is a weird thing, but I had a monkey come after me in the spirit from looking at some artwork. The thing jumped on me, and that was pretty creepy and weird, let me just tell you. So I don't run from monkeys, but I certainly keep my eye open to them. Foul spirits can transfer on articles. They can... Listen, that's why I'm careful with what I wear, where I go, what I listen to. I just had this happen to me last night. I watched a YouTube thing and a spirit jumped on me and it was a godly man supposedly. And the thing, I had a door open. He came in because I looked. I opened the door and said, "Hey, what's your belief systems, blah blah blah?" And I'm looking, and then I have this horrible dream, and I prayed on it today, and it was the door opened on a YouTube video. I have to be careful what I watch. I guard my eyes. I guard my ears. And I try to guard my mouth. Amen? Okay, so you got anything yet, Holly?
But at some point, I think we should do a proclamation.
Yeah, okay, want to do it? Okay. Water break.
One of the things about Christmas that isn't always fun is if, you know, some people have really fun families that are easy to get along with. I came from a somewhat broken family and some anti-Christian stuff. And so it's not as bad as some families, but it's not always easy. And I got to where I'd rather do Christmas with almost anyone else than my own family. And as we were sitting here, I felt like there are people here who are getting ready to go to a family get-together, and you're either edgy about it or worried about it or kind of like, oh, I don't really want to do this. It doesn't mean you don't love your family, but I feel like what happens is over the years there's buildup from past things that get said. And, you know, layers can build up in relationships to where even if you say, oh, I forgive, there's still this sort of thing. So I feel like if you want to, and if you're ready, maybe we could release our family and the members of our family from anything that has happened in the past. Just we're going to release them. And if you're not ready to do it, that's okay. But I feel like the Lord would have us do a proclamation to let go of some things. So I'm going to have you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, you know I want my family to all be saved. I want them in heaven, and I don't want to be a hindrance to that. Prepare my heart. Father, right now I release them into your care. If there's ever been any words between us going either direction that were wrong or hurtful, Father, I just release that to you. I let it go. It will not own my behavior, and it can no longer own my heart. Now, this part is for family or not. I feel like there's someone in here that you are carrying. You actually have, you're wearing anger like a cloak. You wear anger like a cloak. But it's because people have sort of said things that I saw like pointers of like spear, point, 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 like you're being poked by people's words and labels they stuck on you, judgments they've had about you. And they've gone on and forgotten it, but you are wearing it. And so what I'm going to have us do is say, Father, in the name of Jesus, if people's words have damaged me, I release them. I pour the blood of Jesus on every word, every label, every accusation, every wrong judgment, two-way. I ask you to render it null and void, that it can never own me or my heart. In Jesus' name. And because I'm free of this now, let your love pour through me. Even though it doesn't make sense, let me actually be able to be like Jesus at the dinner table, who loves without reason. Who has compassion when it makes no sense. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, Father, I thank you for your people. And I thank you that whether they know it or not, they are carriers of the love of Jesus Christ. And this is one thing I've learned. All of our arguments do not win souls. All of our doctrine and our knowledge and our politics, none of that does it. I watched my husband win soul after soul after soul after soul because something would come upon him that was not a human thing. It was the love of God, but it was from the Father. And it would pour through his eyes. And when it did, I never saw a person that could resist it. Not a Satanist, not a New Ager, not people who were opposed to Christ, not people who were politically opposed. They had no defense because some of it was the first time they encountered the real living love of God. And there is no defense against it. It melts their heart because some people have never been loved. Some people don't know what it is to be loved and accepted. And I watched it happen again and again, and I couldn't figure it out until God arranged for me to stand by the person and see his eyes. And what I saw was the Father's love pouring through him. And in that moment, there was no one but them. And what I found out is that's more valuable than all the argument and all the knowledge. That will change a person's soul forever. And so even though it's your family, sometimes family's a little tougher than strangers, aren't they? But seek the Lord to be a carrier of the love of God. Seek the Lord. I'm seeking the Lord for it. Because to me, that was a mystery. It was a mystery to me. But, you know, a lady said something to me from Crystal Lake. She'd been a Christian for at least 40 years. And she said to me, she said, your husband is the only leader that ever made me feel like a real person. And I thought, that's a wonderful but a very sad statement, isn't it? But it was because when he looked at her, he looked at her with the love of the Father. So I believe we can make an impact on our family a different way this year. Amen?
So the other thing I feel like the Lord wants to help us with is, and I've been praying on this off and on for a week, meaning I've been talking to the Lord about this, and overcoming being taken out. You know, when I was young in the Lord, well, first of all, when I was young in the Lord, I really didn't know him. I just said the gospel message because I didn't want to go to hell and I didn't know about purgatory or any of that stuff. I was like, you know, whatever. And so I kind of just said the sinner's prayer because I just didn't want to go to hell. But I didn't know relationship was possible this side of heaven. And so I lived my life like I always did, crazy and, you know, drinking and drugging and cheating and swearing and working, and that was it. But I had my get out of hell card in the back pocket in case something bad would happen to me. And it reminded me of the little Monopoly card is kind of how I looked at it. And so, but what ended up happening is I stayed living a dull life, just like an average born-again person, what no substance in the Word and no substance in the Spirit and no substance really in the earth except for demonic, because I was, you know, a cheating, lying thief, to be honest with you. And thank you, Jesus, for redemption. Come on. You know, and I know I'm not the only one in here. I think we all are in here, you know, that came from that. And thank you that God doesn't measure us on our past. Who else is like him? But anyway, and so, you know, when I started going, I didn't know about the walk of the Spirit. I didn't know about anything contending to get free or victory through the Word and praying. I just never knew any of that. I went to a community church because I like to be entertained. And I like to, you know, the snacks afterwards. Because I certainly wouldn't get there early enough for the snacks before. But what happened was God set me up that one day. There's another one day where God encountered me. And you know, if he knows our heart, he'll go out of his way. He'll keep trying. He'll keep, you know, throwing the little worm on the hook until we bite. Even when we're dumb and dazed and I don't know which way to go, and all of a sudden, oh, there's a worm, and then we're hooked. You know, that's how simple it is sometimes with his kingdom. You know, we think we've, you know, I'm so profound, and I know, no, you're just a little fish, girl and boy, you know, and you're going to bite the hook because that someday is for you right now. And so in my case, you know, many of you know the story. I won't share the whole thing, but I was the religious one in the family. That scares me today. You know, I think back and I thought, oh, Lord, we've all come a long way in God. Let me just say that. Thank you, Jesus. And so they sent me out to go spy on Edgar and Holly's ministry because they thought it was a cult. But I went to the wrong place. It wasn't Edgar and Holly's. It was another place that actually was a cultish thing. And so I didn't end up at the cultish place. I ended up encountering God. And so I met Jesus that one night. And that one night wrecked me and ignited me like the flame went in me, and I've never been the same since. And so what I'm saying with, though, is I tasted the goodness of God. I met him. I experienced him on this side, you know, before I go to heaven. And I was so, you know, because I was taught all my life, you know, work hard, get married, have couple kids, and, you know, live the American dream. Well, I did all that, and I was empty on the inside because we're designed to chase God, not things. And so in my case, I had really achieved a lot, and I was like, this is it? I'm at the top, and this is it? It felt like there was an emptiness, and I was searching, but I would go into these places, and I would get into bondage because it wasn't God. It was like weird stuff, you know, maybe New Age or, you know, yoga or, and don't argue with me, you know, just weird stuff. And so, but the one day, that one night when I went to Edgar and Holly's, I could feel the presence of God in there. I encountered Jesus face to face, and he rocked my world. He ripped me open in a gentle, kind way, and it just, he wrecked me, like, for the ordinary life. I realized at that time everything I'd been chasing was fake, cheap plastic. I had encountered the living God. He's real. It's all about him. And so I like made one of those crazy prayers and just was like, I only want you, Jesus. I don't care about the other stuff. And so he took me on that word and slowly helped me dismantle the empires and kingdoms and idols that I had built in my life. And So what I'm saying is, I didn't know how to find that anywhere else. I didn't see it clearly written out in Scripture. Do this today, Lori. I was dull, but I was alive in God. And so I would go to any Saturday night service they had, and I would drive an hour, hour and a half. I would go, if they were doing a conference, I would go. But along the way, the enemy got wise that he had lost one of his little agents. Okay? And so what ended up happening is I'd like be on my way and then I'd get a flat tire. I'd be on my way and there'd be a fire in my oven. I'd be on my way and I'd fight with my husband and then I couldn't go. I'd be on my way and something would take me out. And I knew life, and I knew that was life there. I knew I was searching. It was like I would get fed the rivers of God. I didn't know how to feed myself through the rivers of intimacy I do now, but I didn't back then. And so I would go and I would have these questions in my heart. Lord, what's going on with this area? Well, Lord, how do I deal with this? Lord, is that really a problem for me? And I'd ask him these questions, and then I'd go to these services on Saturday night, and Edgar would, you know, he would do his message. And I'll tell you what, the first night I met him, he said, "Satan's sitting in the front row of your church." And he was pointing to me, and I'm like, how does he know? You know, I was shocked by it, but it was true because I never told anybody, you know, because there was a church split going on, you know, and I saw it, but I didn't know how to pray it through. I wasn't filled in the Holy Ghost. I wasn't baptized. I just was praying in English the best I can, cranking it out in the flesh. But then one day, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Boom. Another door opens in the spirit realm. See, there's multiple doors. And so don't get tired and get set in your ways of, I'm going to stay home and watch Friends tonight. I don't feel like going to, it's cold out. I don't want to go. If there's a place that is feeding you spiritually, contend for it, contend for it, contend for it. Because you may not even know it, but you may be taken out just because of you don't know it. You know? So I would go to these services, totally get answers to questions, and then I would drive the whole way home and ask the Lord, well, I get that, but now what does this work? How does this work? I'll never forget when he told me, you know, that, well, I'm not going to tell you because it doesn't matter. But anyway, I had so many conversations with him, and then I'd get a little freer, a little freer, and a little freer. And that's what he wants. He wants us free, but the enemy wants you to be busy. When you're busy, he loves that because you're not a threat. You're kind of just, I'm hanging out. I have to contend against being comfortable. My life is good. I love God. But I want to be sharp in the spirit, on edge all the time. So when something moves in the room, I go, oh, okay, an angel just came in there. Oh, that's a demon. Go in the name of Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And so we have to come up higher. And so I know there's people in here who are struggling with, well, it's hard on a Wednesday night. Are you listening to the messages on a Saturday? If you can't make it on a Wednesday, feed yourself. Wherever there is spiritual manna being released, eat it. Go after it with God. Make a date with God. Spend some time and sit down. And, you know, I'm telling you, when you do that, you build up this edge. And things just start to come into place supernaturally because you're a supernatural being. And so, you know, I love when God challenges me. Because it's our natures to get comfortable. You know, I go to bed at 10 o'clock, I get up at 7, and you know what? Patterns are good, and they're necessary, but complacency is bad. And routine sometimes can be bad, because God might say, get up and go out of the house today, and go to the gas station, and there that person is, doesn't have any money for their gas. And you're the agent he used, because you got out of your comfortable house, and went out in the cold because that person at the pump was saying, Jesus, this is my last dollar. Lord, I know you're good. Could you help me? Well, you'd think Jesus, sometimes he will, but oftentimes he'll use people to come in and go, you know, I feel like I'm supposed to buy your gas today. And they're like, oh my gosh, God is real. He really does hear. You know, we are all in communion with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Ghost, and with each other, even if we don't like each other. I'm just telling you. So it's better to get in that spirit of peace, listen, stay in the rivers, drink of his glory, but be ready for an assignment. Because one day he's going to say, hey, go here. And then when you do that, what ends up happening is, it a lot of times it doesn't happen at that moment, at that assignment, but what happens is because of the act of obedience, it opens up this whole new promotion in the Spirit that you didn't see coming. Only God can do that. And so I'm shaking each one of us right now and saying, wake up, wake up. There's more. Lord, show us the more. Holy Spirit, help us. Go where we're supposed to go and do what we're supposed to do when you say to do it. And that is key. That is key because I've been, you know, like, I don't struggle with this anymore, but I used to, and then I'd get kicked by the devil so many times. Oh, you call yourself a Christian? You know, God would send me on an assignment and just go say, I love you, to this person, a stranger, and I'd be like, I ain't saying that. You know, I don't even know them, you know. It can't be you, the blood of Jesus, you know, and I would, justify, and then I'd find out, and then, it would come up again, and I'd say, oh, give me another chance, please, Lord, I'll do it next time, and then it'll come right back up, and I'd be like, well, I didn't mean right now. You know, and so I learned, and then I'd leave, because God won't make us. And then I'd leave, and the enemy would be like, you call yourself a Christian? You couldn't even follow one simple, I love you, to that stranger who's got cancer? How dare you? You know, and I'd be like, you're right, I suck, you know. And then I'd come into agreement with the enemy. And then I'd be like, wait a minute. No, I am so sorry, Lord. Help me grow in my faith. Help me grow in my trust in you. And I've had plenty of opportunity to blow it and plenty of opportunity to help me, Lord. And so he has. Did you have a question?
No. And you've taught us to pray ahead.
Yeah, about not getting taken out.
Right.
Yeah, and that is really key. Like, okay, the women's retreat's coming up. Yahoo. But I'm going to tell you something. The devil doesn't want you going. First of all, you're too busy. It costs too much. And it's cold out. What if your car doesn't start? I laugh at that now. But I used to entertain it years ago. He can't get anything on me. And how that works is I pray ahead. I say, Holy Spirit, you want me to go? Make a way. If funds are tight, which they shouldn't be because everything belongs to him and you steward his resources, so are you looking at it in the natural like, it's not in my budget? Or are you like, you know what? I feel like Lord wants me to go. Lord, make a way. I could talk hours on how he's made ways for me. So here's the thing. I feel like he's shaking us up a little bit and realigning the puzzle to his image instead of the way we think things should be. And so pray ahead. If you're supposed to come to the retreat and you're just kind of nudged, like, I don't know how it's going to work out. I just don't have the money or I can't get off of work. Listen, I don't care if you come or don't come, so don't think I'm trying to get you to come, but I care if you miss it. That bothers me. Not everybody's supposed to come, but I care if the enemy got you on this one. You know, that bugs me when he wins. And I don't judge you because I've been gotten too, okay? But I'm just encouraging us to pray ahead. If you're on a spiritual fast or a spiritual walk or a journey and all of a sudden you get a headache or something, are you going to lay down, take a pill, or are you going to say, the blood of Jesus over my mind? See, we have to start commanding and taking authority because if we don't, nobody else will. And by default, we fall into the enemy's hand. And I'm tired of that. And so I have made a conscious decision that life and death is in the power of the tongue, and I'm choosing life. And every once in a while, I blow it and curse myself or say something bad. I wash those words with the blood of Jesus. I render them null and void, and then I speak the blessing out loud. Amen. There is no better kingdom than the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen?
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from spiritofgodworldwide.com.